The Young and the Monstrous, a story of kids just trying to get out of high school and keep their monsters within. Episode 21, Monster Mash, but this time with mutilation and murder.
I'm going to just go ahead and say this. Kyle is in murder mode, angry about thinking Emily is dead. He can't hear this in the same way that you can. Mm. Celine, you can hear. This is Lilith.
And I think she's like leaning against the door frame or something because she's also very fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to shout over like, Carol, you got her. There's something even worse in the gym. You have to come with me.
I think Carol yells back like, we have to finish this off.
I will tug her string.
Do you have a string on her?
Sure do.
All right. So when you spend a string, so you want her to go to the gym to deal with that and to stop doing what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, you already got her.
Her, huh? Okay. You deal with, you two finish her off and I'll go check out the gym.
Hmm. Okay. So we can handle that. She's like, fine. It's Brynifer's necklaces.
Brynifer? Ugh.
Exactly.
And she'll kind of like look over to Kyle like, you got this? And I assume Kyle's like, yeah, I'm killing this thing too. And so then she'll like pull this thing out and kind of like step back kind of warily and then start like kind of intently jogging towards that direction, which is, it's in the next area, so it's fine. You guys are in blue area, it's in red area.
Sure.
But yeah, so she will go and leave that. So Kyle, you are still jamming this tusk into this thing's gullet.
Oh yeah, and I see no reason to evade at it. As far as I can tell, in the frenzy of this, Carol just left because she's a little baby. I still owe her one for braining me in the back of the head. Got to make a mental note of that one.
Oh, do you remember that?
That's a good question.
I know you said you remember everything. But...
yeah, would you remember if someone hits you in the back of the head? Maybe you could put it together later.
Yeah, I think you could put it together, but I think right at the moment you'd be like, Carol's here?
But... like remembering your birth. It's like, I remember that part. Yeah, no one had to tell me what happened. Yeah, okay. So he's going to keep going. He's like, oh, it's just me now? Cool. And he like stands center and like just like really jams it in there. Trying to get more of these otherworldly screams out of this monstrous thing that killed Emily.
Eduardo, you're trying to... what's that?
You know me. I like to add wrenches.
Wrench it up.
I would like at this time, it's been, what, 5 minutes of this fight from, you know, Emily being this to that to that. In about 5 minutes, right?
Probably. It's probably been a very short amount of time.
Have Selena... not Selena, but Celine and Carol left to go to the whatever it's called.
So the
auditorium, the next door. I think they're in the gym now. Are they on in the auditorium now?
Celine is in the gym with Emily's unconscious, though Kyle thinks she's dead, body. Kyle is also in the auditorium with this creature. Shree is also in the auditorium. Carol has left to go back to the gym.
That's what I want to know. If Carol has left. Yeah. Can I have... not quote-unquote the police, maybe not the people with this person. Can I have the person with the tarot deck show up for a reason? I know that's not my character, so I don't want to take control of that.
Maybe. I think that the deal with this being Lilith has to be resolved first, because that's like the more immediate.
What do you want to do with Lilith? What's your goal here?
So... I think we're dealing with some of that of like, oh, this creature did kill some people, but it's also this friend of ours. What's the deal?
I mean, he killed Hitler.
I don't want to be too nosy, but that could be part of my, to help this particular situation. Cause if not, we're going to kill her. Are we killing her? Are we killing Lilith?
Well, I think Celine has decided to intervene, and she just literally pulled Carol out of that situation. So now
love that.
And now I think
so we're not killing her. So we're not killing her.
Hopefully not. Celine doesn't want to. I think
Kyle has vengeance on the mind, and I get that. What do you want to do, Austin? That's my question about adding this person into it.
I want to see where Celine goes with this with Kyle first before we throw anybody else in.
Okay, do that.
So, go for it.
Yeah. So, you're just jamming this invisible tusk into this invisible water monster, right?
That's what I'm up to.
Gotcha. All right. So, yeah, Celine comes, I guess, beside you. And she's fucked up, too. She's like...
This, by the way, is a tough thing.
I'm like
this
Celine, help me.
This thing is still, like, fighting... quite a bit, a lot less than it was before, but this is still like I'm wrestling a mostly sedated alligator, that kind of a deal. Like,
all right, Kyle's like, wait, Celine, you said help.
Mostly,
Kyle. She'll be okay. We have to help her now.
Kyle's like, what this is doing? The only way we can. This is the only way we can help her. She's gone, Celine.
You're not
help
killing
me.
Her.
Help me. What? This is the only way. What are you talking about? Emily's dead, and this thing did it. Why are you just standing there? Why did Carol leave? What's wrong with you people?
Did we kill you when we figured out you were different?
And he, like, looked at you confusedly and say, yeah, catch up, Celine. We're all different. I get it. But what's that have to do? Like, I don't have time for this. You know, like, turn back and, like, jam this thing deeper into this screaming thing.
And it shrieks louder and it kicks. And I think you guys do have to kind of take cover for a second where Kyle has to like further ready himself for this, maybe letting go of the thing and scrambling as it tries to get back on its feet. Celine, this is a very dangerous encounter for you, but I don't think there's a role that's necessary here, but it's just like, oh shit, we are dealing with a dying elephant that's freaking out.
And so Kyle, yep, like, turns back and he's like, Celine, cast a spell or something. Hold it down so I can finish this.
I think you finish it. Let her drip dry and let's get out of here.
And Kyle's like, so what? She can kill everyone else in this school? Like, who? Why? And why is it a she? Is she wearing a skirt? Did you notice a distinct lack of dick down there or something? What does it matter what it is? Just kill it.
First of all, you're disgusting. Secondly, that's obviously Lilith. Listen for a second.
And Kyle will listen. Does he hear anything Lilith-like coming out of this thing?
I'm going to ask this question. This is a lame question. How much does Kyle listen? Does Kyle listen just fleetingly, or does Kyle like really wait and listen for this? No. Let me ask this question a little differently. No.
Don't ask, is Kyle a good listener? Because the answer is definitely no.
Okay.
Or do ask that, and the answer is no.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when Lilith says listen, Kyle thinks he has listened. He has heard this. There are these screams, but this isn't a thing that's natural, so why wouldn't it sound like who the fuck knows?
So Kyle will, like, pause for just a moment. He's like, look, Celine, if you don't have the stomach for this, that's fine. Get out of my way. Emily deserved better than that. And he's gonna, like, get back to it.
So let's see. Do you think I'm trying to shut him down or pull a string, perhaps? I will try to shut him down. Pretty good. My cold is -1, but that's still a 10. So
on a 10 plus, choose from below. They lose a string. They gain a condition. You take one forward.
I guess what I'm trying to do is give him a condition of empathetic, perhaps. Maybe, or no, maybe something tied to listening, because he's trying to listen now. Would be a good one about listening, since we already kind of were setting that up.
Maybe you could. Would trusting be one? Maybe.
Oh yeah, that could work. Yeah, that might work. Yeah, I'm about trusting. I like that.
Sure.
Because that could be used negatively too, which I think is the idea. Perfect. You got to trust me, Kyle. Come on.
Kyle will keep stabbing for another couple of moments, but his will falters, and he can see he's considering it and thinking all right, he's trying to do the math in his head about what you know versus what he knows, and then you can tell that after a couple of seconds of this, he's decided to accept it, but then he just keeps stabbing for another few seconds just to really be no, this is my choice, I'm stabbing because I want to, and then he dramatically yanks it out and tosses it on the ground. And he's this thing will survive that anyway. It's as good as dead.
Yeah, how about you get Emily out of here? She rolls her eyes.
And he's looks back at you as man, Celine, I thought that between us, you were the one who gave a shit. How can you talk about her like that? She's dead.
All right, and she's like, she just throws her hands up. She's like, fine. She grabs Emily and starts taking her out.
And he'd be like, whoa,
I guess
whoa,
she's going to leave the one-armed Cherie here.
I will say that Celine has not attempted to determine whether or not Emily is dead at all. So when Celine is doing that, what's Celine getting at there?
No, I think she didn't assume that she was dead.
There's
well, Kyle's you didn't. He's dead, and it said as much many times.
Yeah, and Celine at no point went to figure that out.
I'll go make a pulse check. Does she seem like she's dead or?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then, if you do it, she does seem like she's dead. She's very cold. But if you sit there for a while, eventually, you do feel a faint pulse.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to make a point with how you were responding to that.
No. I think kind of in Celine's mind, since even though she's technically immortal, these people she's kind of convinced are special in some way. So she's like, Kyle died six times. This is fine.
And now everyone is immune to death.
Exactly.
If you're taking a while over Emily, who I believe is a corpse, Kyle will be over sort of roughly dragging Cherie. Cherie, is that her name?
Yeah.
Cherie, back to her feet. Not particularly kindly. It's come on, get up. Let's get out of here.
And I think she does eventually wake up and she's like, Kyle, oh, you can't deceive me. I can hear your voice. I can't see. My eyes hurt so much, Kyle.
Sort of roughly brushed some of the debris out of her face.
They hurt that late. I knew, Kyle, I knew that you weren't in love. I knew that everything that they said about you and her was fake. That's why.
And he'll go, ugh. And he'll just drop her and flump her back to the floor. And
oh no, I landed on a shard of metal.
Yeah, that was my last hit point.
Yeah. My kidney.
And he'll go join Celine over Emily.
I think once she figures that out, she's going to try and leave this situation. Hopefully, is Lilith the invisible monster still thrashing about or splashing about? I should say.
Yeah, I think that this thing it still seems to be bleeding. I think you guys are in this situation, at least Celine. Lilith might be dying.
Shark Fever is sweeping the nation every Wednesday night on WTAD with Fart or Shark.
Join America's new favorite host, Tip Roundbeef, and four flatulently focused contestants as they try to suss out mere toots from accidental poops.
Around one, the sound of thunder! Can our contestants tell fart from shark merely by the sound?
That's a fart, Tip.
Tip, that's gotta be a shark.
That was dry? You gotta be kidding me.
Round two, the nose knows. Enter the stink zone. Can our contestants sniff out clatter from splatter?
Oh my god, Tip, this is gonna make me sick. There's no way this wasn't a shark.
One whiff in there and I knew it was a fart.
I got into the stink zone and I realized I wasn't ready for this.
Round three, the proof it looks like pudding. Are these marks legit or are contestants marks?
Looking at this brown mess, I have to say, that's a real shark.
I just can't tell.
Is that a peanut?
That's fake. Look at the texture.
The winner doesn't just go home with $5,000. They get the chance to take on Shartenstein in our champion's show and win the title of the Brown Sash!
Fart or Shart, only on WTAD.
I think we see a TV show that indicates to us that it's about 5 or so years ago. So maybe it's like a mid-series run Game of Thrones episode. And there's a group of people kind of sitting around watching this on TV, and they're just kind of dumbly staring at it. Maybe they're eating potato chips, which I've been told I say weirdly. I say potato chips. As opposed to potato chips. So we see that when one of them gets up, they move, and we can see that all of these people, these like 4 or 5 folks who are watching this TV, have shaved heads, and all of them also have neck tattoos. And those neck tattoos are of a cup with inside of a star with like a heart on the cup or on the chalice and swords piercing it. And all of these guys are just staring at this TV, and you hear a commotion coming from the other room as like another group of people is kind of entering. And so these folks kind of turn to attention. And these folks come in, and you just hear, like, why is it you see this small man. I'm going to go ahead and say he is played by late 90s Joe Pesci. So late 90s Joe Pesci with a mustache. And he's walking with a couple of these other guys that similarly have these that same kind of look. Is there anybody who feels that they could do a good Joe Pesci voice? All right, I will be doing the voice of Joe Pesci. And this person is walking down this hallway that's like, come on, this is the big thing. You got to see this. This is the deal. It's the key. It's what's going to give us the power to run this whole place. You and me, you hear that? And you can see that the person he's talking to is a fairly plainly dressed man in his late 20s, early 30s. And you would recognize that actor as a young John Hamm. And he's like, wow. So you're really going to bring me into the whole, like into the inner circle. And the other three, well, we'll say the other four people that are with them are, or three people, and we'll see who can do these, are these various head and shaven goons who have these neck tattoos. And anyone who wants can voice up as one of these guys. And their whole deal is they are fairly dumb, fairly compliant, and just kind of some fun lunks.
And these guys are on Team Joe Pesci, not Team John Hamm.
Joe Pesci seems to be running the show here.
Okay, cool.
And so he leads him back, and he says, like, or John Hamm says, what's kind of a spooky name that like a villain would have, but it also sounds like it could be a human name, but it's a villainous name. Craig. No.
Joe Dario.
Joe Dario.
Let's go straight to the heart of Demon Town.
Yeah. Again, let's focus on regular person, but like
Silas.
Silas. Perfect. Silas is a for some reason frightening name.
Because it was used in Heroes season one when it was a good show. We don't need to go down that road.
The John Hamm looking character, who we've always seen as Ransom Morganhouse. So as far as the viewers of this TV show are concerned, this is younger Ransom Morganhouse is like Master Silas. I don't know if I'm ready for this. I mean, I really want to be inducted into the order, but into the inner circle. Am I really ready? And this little Joe Pesci looking guy, who he's referred to him as Silas, he's wearing a double breasted suit. He looks exactly like Joe Pesci from the late 90s with a mustache. And he's like, you're ready for it. We're going to bring you in. You're going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. Why don't you come here? How about you guys? How have you felt about being able to live forever? And he turns, of course, to the guys with the shaved heads and the neck tattoos.
One of the guys is like, yeah. And he turns around for high fives from the other two. And he gets a high five from Mr. Morganhouse. He's like, come on, man. You just got to believe in yourself. We made it this far. One more step. Let's go. Go team.
And the man we know as Ransom Morganhouse, the young version of him, is like, okay. I mean, it is eternal life. That's pretty good. I mean, at first when I saw you guys, I was a little bit concerned, but you've shown me that you guys have some serious powers. I mean, with that thing that you've got, that he starts to say something that starts with D, and there's a little dirty joke here. He says with that D, and Joe Pesci goes, shh, no, not till you're in the inner circle, huh? Come on back here, gentlemen. Why don't you show him to his special place? And since none of the other goons speak up, they help him move along into this, like, down into this, like, kind of basement. And all throughout this place, there's, do you know what a Faraday cage is? It's like it's this weird cage that's constructed in a way that's supposed to block out electronic signals and stuff like that, like, people who are like preppers are like, oh yeah, my safe room is surrounded by a Faraday cage so that all my electronics that aren't hooked up to the web won't die when there's a blah blah blah, because
yeah,
the Faraday
cage, my
internet
access is going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, that's not how that works, but okay, no problem. Yeah, they'll just be playing Sims.
Yeah. Then a patch comes out and they can't play it anymore.
They're like, shit. I only have the version where everyone pees themselves all the time. But yeah, so you're brought down and this place is like surrounded. It's almost like a geodesic dome inside the basement of a building. And it's made of these kind of like grating pieces of Faraday cage material. And, the John Hamm looking character, Ransom Morganhouse, is like, this is really more intense than I thought. This is kind of blowing my mind. So once I'm fully accepted into the order, I mean, what happens? And I think this guy who's been referenced as Master Silas says, "Oh yeah, once you're brought into the order of the chalice, if you will, then in that case, the world's yours. Why, we can do whatever we want. We can be whoever we want. Eternal life is ours and power is ours, and that is what I've brought you here for." And he's like, "I thought you guys would just want to, you know, get money from me," says Ransom Morganhouse, or the man we know as Ransom Morganhouse. And in fact, you know what? They're just going to say this guy's name, so I don't have to keep addressing him as such. All right, so I think that his name is not Ransom Morganhouse. His name is Ransom something with an M. What's his last name that starts with an M?
Mendelssohn.
Ransom Mendelssohn. Yeah, he's like... Ransom Mendelssohn. Why, that's who you are now, but it's not who you always have to be. Here in the Order, you can be whoever you want. You can live forever. Power will be yours. And he kind of like grabs him. He does the thing where like you grab a person kind of by their arms, almost as if you were going to shake them, but it's Joe Pesci grabbing John Hamm, so their height difference is pretty significant. And he grabs him and he kind of like turns him and he brings him towards more the center of this room. And he says, "This might just seem like some dank basement, but it's the heart. It's the base of the chalice itself, in which the great wealth and the power of this whole world are poured. And that is what you'll be able to drink deep of. No longer the shame, no longer the anonymity. You'll be able to be who you want and live how you want and live that way forever." And I think Ransom Mendelssohn is like, "Oh..." I'm writing Ransom Mendelssohn down. Is like, that sounds good. And I think Master Silas says, "Just stand right here. And hold this." And he opens up what looks at first like a cigarette case. And with one hand, one nimble little Joe Pesci hand, he flicks out a card to Ransom Mendelssohn, who takes it. And when the camera looks over, we see that the two of them are standing kind of on opposite ends of this pentagram. And we see Master Silas flip through these cards and kind of draw a number of them in a certain way. And kind of flick them down onto the other places, Gambit style, into those spots. And he says, "Behold, drink deep from this." And of course, one of the goons makes a comment in this moment, which is what?
Yeah, he said deep. Guys,
yeah, it's that. Literally that. Thanks.
All right. And there is, and Everett, you have been the one dealing with these cards the most. This is when we are going to see this deck in action, and we are going to see these two men swap bodies. These guys are going to Freaky Friday each other, and not in the way that if you type that in rightnow.com, but these guys are going to body swap Freaky Friday style. And but what does that look like to us? Is it just nothing, and then they're just like different dudes?
No, I feel like they both like the windows of the eyes or the soul or something like that.
The eyes are the windows to the soul.
There you go. That's what it is. So they like look at each other, and one of them smiling and one of them screaming. So it's like that exchange of like, oh no. And then I love the idea of light because the shadow is the cards, like that shadow realm, whatever you want to say. So like light, like pierces through each other. Do you guys think they go, I don't think it's a shadow thing. I think it's just like the light is enough to indicate, you know, they're switching, but color wise.
By the light is enough to indicate, do you mean that there's just like a flash of light?
No, no, it's coming from their eye holes. Oh, their souls are leaving their bodies.
So if we're doing this as a TV show where the camera sees this, so if we're doing this as a camera show, where the camera, if we're doing this as a TV show where the camera sees this, are they, you said that we see like close-ups of their eyes as they're looking at each other. One is smiling. We see their mouths. This is almost like a Sergio Leone close-up. And then does the light seem to be coming out of their eyes? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely that, yes.
Yeah, so the light blasts out of their eyes and we continue to see one of them smiling and the other one screaming. And eventually this seems to stop and kind of the charged noise that kind of sounds like electricity. And we maybe see some very 80s lightning bolts around that Faraday cage that are kind of like added on and post effects, like zzz, zzz, like Ghostbusters, like freaking Zool is showing up.
Zool, right? I was just gonna, yeah.
Like we see that, and we see Joe Pesci with a mustache kind of shaken and screaming, and he stops screaming and he looks around, and you see Ransom Mendelsohn stand there, kind of shake himself out, and like he's shaking a bit, but shaking more almost out of like, I'm so worked up, I just had so much coffee, I'm gonna go crazy kind of a thing. And he like flexes his fingers and he looks over and he motions to some of the other people that are there in the room. And
One of the guys walks over and in this like motion to get one of us, he goes and takes the deck away from what used to be Silas. Mm-hmm. And he like picks, like you see him pick up the different cards and like put them back in the deck, and he gives them to Ransom.
And once Ransom has that, you see his body, he kind of like calms down a little bit, and he riffles through these cards and puts them back in that case in that really kind of like strangely dexterous magician kind of motion, as if he's like, it took him a second and then he picked it back up. And he says, you're in the body of a wealthy, powerful man. The world's your oyster. The world is our oyster. Let's make sure that you benefit from some of that wealth. Why don't we?
Tuesday nights on WTAD.
These streets are dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what they say when it's a full moon?
Mark Cherplansky just wanted a good life and a good job.
I sure hope I get that big promotion. I'll finally be able to propose to Gretchen.
The full moon!
Mark, you're changing!
It's the moon. I'm transforming there.
Settle down there, miss. What seems to be their problem?
By the light of the full moon.
Is there a problem, officer?
Do you know how fast you are going there?
He is transformed.
We're just trying to have a good time.
I'm gonna need you to settle down and turn those speakers down there.
Witness the changing.
But Mark's never had facial hair.
I swear. He had a mustache. A mustache, Belinda!
What?!
To protect and serve under the full moon.
Wear a cop.
Tuesday nights on WTAD.
we're back in the auditorium. And who do we start with? Celine had just heard that that's Lilith. Emily could maybe just be waking up. Carl is still trying to wrench this creature's head off its body. Kyle, sorry. I know, crazy, right?
If I recall, the very last thing we did was Celine did manage to get Kyle to quit trying to kill the thing. And he sort of accepted that, like, for some reason, Celine didn't want him to kill the thing, even though he didn't quite understand. And then they were both, like, back over Emily. Kyle still thinks she's dead. That's what I recall being the last thing.
That's right. Yeah, you had learned. Yeah, you had thought, like, oh, she's dead. She's died.
The other thing was that in the parking lot, Ransom was there with the cop lady. Mm-hmm. That was the... So this thing is still screaming, essentially, but it's not trying to kill them anymore.
Yeah, so if we have this scene, if we're just laying out the miniatures on the map, we've got the monster, which is now kind of flumped over and essentially has stopped significantly fighting. It's probably like trying to kick at or like push away anyone who's doing anything to it directly, but I think it's over on its side. Kyle had left fighting it, so it has this like one of its own tusks that is only visible, that maybe now is visible, and looks like kind of like white wood. If you've seen those trees that look almost like white bone, it looks like that. And that had been the tusk or the tooth that Kyle was using to kind of like stab at it after Carol had been doing so. And that's now flopped on the ground. And so this creature is moving around and we see all the seawater has poured everywhere. And there's silt and little bits of plant matter and maybe some fish even all over the place. So there's fish periodically like flopping on the stage, which has been itself destroyed from the weight of this creature. And 12 to 20 feet away at most is Emily, with Kyle now over her, looking at her, thinking that she's dead. Celine nearby, I think not on the stage, but like, if you're on the stage, Celine is to the right of you if you're looking out at the audience. So is that stage right? I forget. I don't remember anymore. So stage
it's
right
and left of whatever you think it should be.
Is it from the audience's perspective or the actor's perspective?
I think it's from the actor's perspective.
Actor's perspective.
Okay, so then Celine is at stage, like, off stage, stage right, like, not on the stage, at the area where you would come in from the gymnasium, which is for some reason in direct abutment to this auditorium. So that means she's also down below, so she's looking up at this. Maybe can't even quite see Emily's body because of the positioning, where it's like this stage is probably 4 to 6 feet above where you're standing. So like all of the audience can see better. And Everett, I'm going to say you can monitor all of this, but since you have exited Emily's body, your ability to connect with this at the moment is limited.
The last thing I did, I went back into the deck.
Okay, that sounds
good. So I'm in the deck, so I can't see any of this. But I'm with the deck, if that helps. Okay, bye.
So, that's where we've left off. Carol has left to go deal with Jennifer. Yeah. And I'm going to shoot to... Kyle. Yeah, Celine has told you to stop. Celine, did you tell Kyle why?
Yeah, didn't I try to make like an impassioned speech? Like, this is Lilith and she's one of us. We gotta stick together. Something like that.
Okay.
So if I remember correctly, you were like, this is Lilith, and Kyle's like, I don't see why you would think that. But then Celine was like, if you trust me, then like you're gonna stop. And I was like, okay.
All right, so then yeah, we'll start with Celine. Celine, you see Kyle standing over, I'll just say you know that Emily's there, standing over Emily's dead body, and behind him is Lilith as some kind of monster that's been mangled beyond belief, and it's squirming because the only way that it's visible is like the parts of it that are dead or the blood or like other things on it. So it just looks like, it just looks more like this writhing mass than any kind of creature that had been attacking people beforehand.
Mm-hmm. And is there a way to like check on Emily, I guess?
Sure. Yeah. If you hop on up there, you can go check her pulse, see if she's breathing, poke her with a pin, see if she screams, throw her in a lake, see if she's a witch, whatever you want. You can do a lot of things.
I might try the pulse thing.
Okay. I think that at least initially there is nothing, because that will be more dramatic.
Kyle will be watching this link confirm what he already knows, which is that Emily is dead after like that crazy display. And he'll like be sort of like standing over her, like not really trying to hide the fact that this is like very distressing to him. And he'll be like, don't you have like some crazy spell or something, Celine? Like, what good's being a witch if you can't, I don't know, do necromancy or whatever?
And I just picture her like on her knees, you know, like checking Emily's pulse, you know, and she looks over her shoulder and she's like, I didn't get to that part yet. I don't know.
Is there a little bit of Celine that's excited that Kyle needs you to do something?
Sure.
Oh, I didn't know if you had maybe moved beyond the crush on Kyle point or not.
I feel she kind of has, but she really wants them to focus on what's happening in the other room, but Emily dying would be very bad, so she does not want that either, despite what she might have said before. I think she's, her and I have made amends, as I recall. So she's like, she's not dead, we're gonna figure this out, hold on. And I don't know.
I was like, there's so much I didn't tell her. It's not fair.
Does it look like she's like drowned, or is it just wounds she sustained from the falling in the orchestra pit?
Well, Celine hadn't seen her fall into the orchestra pit. When you came in, she was floating up in the air and electrocuting a monster.
Right. Is there any indication of what? Does she have wounds? Or?
I mean, she did fall a distance, so maybe it just wanged into her. And since she had fallen into the orchestra pit, probably does look like she's pretty bruised up and maybe hit her head. She was holding some electrical cables, so perhaps, as we have learned, people can die from electrocution. Maybe she was electrocuted and died in that manner.
Have I seen
her skeleton?
Gotcha.
I think earlier on we did maybe see a skeleton, but it might have been the monster's skeleton.
Ew, this is a WB show? I don't know.
It's a monster of a skeleton you got there, son.
Kyle's like, I was dead and then I came back, and now that I'm back, she's dead. This is just like that show, Juliet and Romeo.
Yeah, I think with that, Celine's like, yeah, actually, why don't you just do whatever you did for yourself to her? That should be fine.
And Kyle's like, come on, Celine. You know what I am. I don't think if I stuff a bunch of gore and violence down her throat, she's going to feel any better. You know, like, give her like a soft touch. He's like, she's gone.
Kate, Emily can come back whenever you think would be most dramatic.
Oh, that's good to know.
Or most dramatic.
I am waiting for Celine to cast a spell on me.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I have any spells that are not offensive. But,
I mean, you could gaze into the abyss to find what you're looking for. Maybe you're trying to find her.
Sure. I'll give that a try.
Do it then, coward.
Oh, yeah. Actually, when you say that, and Kyle's like, oh, well, I can't do it. She's like, you fucking coward. And she she does this. So she, I guess she, we said that she casts spells by lighting stuff on fire. So maybe she has like a matchbook or something and lights something. Although everything's wet, but I don't know. What would be an interesting thing to just find?
I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't be wet. If you just have a matchbook, maybe you do the thing.
Just light myself.
Yeah, light yourself on fire. Then we don't have
to. Protest.
Then we don't have to deal with you. Okay. So anyway, if you have just a book of matches, not like a box of matches, but a book of matches, you can take it out and use the match without removing it from the thing, so it stands itself up, and almost use it like a very like precarious stick of incense. If that makes sense, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, it might be better to light myself on fire because I rolled a 5 total on that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Perfect. So what does the ritual look like as you do it?
I think she's sort of on the verge of like panicking because she really wants to get in this other thing. She did not think that Emily was dead at all. I think last time she was saying, oh, she's just like one of us, so she's going to come right back. Don't worry about this. We have other things to focus on. Now she's actually, it's getting real, like, she is dead. So she did that trick you just explained where, you know, you make that kind of like the match sticking up and she's maybe just shaking as she's doing this.
Is there an incantation that you go through? Do you have to like lay your hands on Emily? Do you do this kind of number above her where you're doing jazz hands over her body?
Yeah, I think she has not read any spell even related to this, so she's trying all of that. Like,
okay.
It's very haphazard. She's doing like jazz hands and everything, like, come back.
All right. Well, I will say that, and again, Kate, Emily's down to come back. Now I'm going to go ahead and say that probably would encourage Emily to come back. I think, Celine, you could maybe feel Emily's spirit. Like perhaps you hear her voice or you hear something that reminds you of her. And you can hear music from the gym. And there's a song maybe that Emily had played in the past. And that like you can hear that kind of coming through the door that hadn't closed. That's kind of like between the two, the auditorium and the gymnasium. And
it's Helena, Kate, by MCR.
Again,
this is when Emily wakes up.
Yeah, Emily's spirit is now fully returned to her body. She can now get up absolutely whenever she wants. Like I said that before, but this is now like you are now fully aware of what's going on.
Okay.
You are now just like lying there to open your eyes when you so please.
As Celine is waving her hands over me, I wake up with a start and I gasp and I grab her hands as I sit up.
Now the two of you are face to face. You haven't spoken in a little while, and the last time you did, it was fairly accusatory, and now all of a sudden here you are, both in desperate situations, Emily's clothes and body covered in some blood and some weird smelly seawater. She looks pale, and you're looking in each other's eyes.
Celine, also very bloody and fucked up.
That's true, yeah. You also look bad, and probably pale. I mean, based on everything you described, I don't think you're exactly a golden goddess.
True.
So she's holding Celine's hands, and she's looking into her face. She says, Celine? And she looks and sees Kyle. Kyle, and she sees the monster over in the corner. It's... What happened? Why does my body hurt so much? What's going on?
Celine's like, I fucking knew it.
And in fact, Emily's body definitely hurts substantially more than it even had before. I think you've suffered an additional harm, which is pretty bad. So bringing you to 2. And Kyle, what is your response at this?
So
these two are face to face.
So like she starts and like grabs Celine, and when Celine says, I fucking knew it, like as soon as the words are out of her mouth, like Kyle like swoops in and just like tosses Celine off of Emily, like sort of like shoves her away in his haste, and he like crouches over Emily and he's looking at her with his face like aghast, and he like takes the back of her neck and like puts his hand on her shoulder, and he leans down and he's like, Emily, he's like looking at her all over. He's like, what the fuck? Were you faking the whole time? What the hell? Was this a prank? This was a prank, wasn't it? That's not cool. I thought you were dead. That's not cool.
No, no, I have no idea what happened. Kyle, I swear, I didn't... I wouldn't do that. I'm so sore. What happened? Please tell me.
He like look around suspiciously, and he's like, well, if you were really dead, then... He like rolls his eyes, and he's like, Celine, the spell you used to bring her back to life messed up her memories. Come on. Like, she does not remember anything. Does she remember that we were together? Do you remember we were together?
Of course I do, my love.
Okay. Good.
And yeah, she's like, that wasn't my spell. I told you, Emily's just like you.
Just like me.
Just like all.
And like he'll be serious now, and he's like, "Is that true?" And he's asking Emily. It's like, "Are you different?"
Different? I don't understand.
And he like look back and forth between the two of them, and he's like, "Well, Celine's a witch, and I'm a zombie, and you are."
You're a. What? A zombie? I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
And he'll, like, think about it for a moment. He's like, yeah, you know, this is weird, actually. Celine, can you wipe a little bit more of her memory? Like, just the last, like, 15 seconds.
She rolls her eyes, and she looks at Emily earnestly, and she says, no, wait. I think you know this, Emily. Probably since we were kids, we're a little different. We're all different. Lilith, also very different. She looks at the monster. More different than usual currently. Carol Hamilclaw. Hammerclaw?
Hamilclar.
Hamilclar, of course. Carol, of course. Just found out she's also different. And who knows wherever it is.
Hey, Emily says to Celine, I've always known you were a little different, but... I don't know, I'm different too. I just thought we were weird together, I guess. But you mean something more, don't you?
Yeah, you were just flying around shooting lightning bolts. Pretty different. It's fine. We're cool. But there's something even weirder happening in the other room. And Chimonier is in danger because of... Good bitch. Brennifer. And if Carol can't take care of her, I mean, three of us could help.
Well, if there's something going on in the gymnasium, then... But what are we going to do about this monster? It's still alive.
It doesn't have to die, is what you hear from the entrance to the auditorium, as if a person is indeed walking down the aisle, coming, and they are flanked on one side by a beefy man with a shaved head and a neck tattoo of a chalice, and on the other side by Officer Perez. And the person, of course, who spoke up is a very handsome man, John Hamm-esque, if you will, who you've met as Ransom Morganhouse, Kyle's dad. Celine, you have met this person as Kyle's dad. Emily, you have has Emily met Kyle's father?
My guess would be possibly. I mean, if they've been dating for a while.
There's also been some keeping things secret, and that we did say in the beginning that Kyle was keeping that Emily and he were together secret because she's too extra.
Okay, then let's go. No, she doesn't know this guy.
All right, well then you're like, this is your dad? Who's this dreamboat in a double-breasted suit? It's a very weird outfit, but okay. It's 2023 and this is the outfit you've chosen, but all right.
And yeah, the other guy looks like a dude who's like straight out of jail. Like he's like a huge guy who's just got a shaved head and looks kind of like vacant. And yeah, an Officer Perez. And this person who Celine knew as had met as Ransom Morganhouse, and Kyle, I don't think you have ever met.
I was just going to ask you that. I don't think so.
And he says, that creature doesn't have to die, and neither does your friend. All of that can be solved. And Kyle, I can help you out.
The Young and the Monstrous, a Monster Hearts actual play podcast from This American Dice. The Young and the Monstrous is Carl as Kyle the Ghoul, David as Celine the Witch, Eduardo as Everett the Ghost, Lauren as Lilith the Fae, Kate as Emily the Mortal, and Austin is your Game Master. Cover art is by Blair. Monster Hearts is a game by Avery Adler. The Young and the Monstrous airs here on This American Dice every Thursday, so don't forget to check us out each week. Rate, review, like, subscribe, check out our Facebook group, The Whole Nine Yards, and let us know what you think. Every 5-star review on iTunes we'll read on the air. Our intro and outro music, of course, is Deep State by Vans in Japan. Additional music for this episode included Light Expanse by Unicorn Heads, Shadow Man by Lobo Loco, and Apollo the Wicked by Jeremy Corpus, as well as Time is Running Out, also by Jeremy Corpus. Additional voices for this episode included Blair, Alex, and Marisa.
Now go, Lumberjacks!